Revelation chapter 8. All right, and what I'm going to try to do today, I'm going to try to keep my comments on Scripture this morning a little bit shorter. Originally, I was going to do chapters 8 and 9, and I just said, it'll go on forever. So I divided it in half. We'll just do chapter 8 today. And son, I'm going to need your help because this thing's not cooperating up here, so I'll have you push the buttons for me. Is that okay? Okay. All right. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do just chapter 8, and then at the end, I'm going to try to keep it shorter, so you can have a question and answer time. If there's any questions you have, just keep them in your mind as we're going through this. It doesn't have to be just about Revelation 8. It could be about Revelation itself. It could be about Bible prophecy. And we won't take forever. We'll take a few questions at the end. And then what we're going to do is we're going to have the elders come forward, and our elder Gary Crabtree is going to come forward on Tuesday. He's going to have open heart surgery. So we're going to anoint him with oil and lay hands on him and ask God to just bless him and protect him through that difficult surgery this Tuesday at, Gary, what's the hospital? I forgot. Where are you at? Is he in here? Oh, at Presbyterian. That's right. Presbyterian. I knew it was on Walnut Hill, but I just couldn't think of the name. All right. Now, go ahead and put that first slide up there, son. 3 weeks ago, we examined the first set of judgments in the book of Revelation. Now, these two chapters, everybody, listen, these are not for the weak of heart, okay? These are not for the fearful in heart. God doesn't let us just skip these. And did you know that a lot of pastors just skip Revelation, or they'll skip these tougher chapters because they say, if I preach Revelation 8 and Revelation 9, then people won't come. It's too heavy. It's too hard for people. But you know what? The Bible simply says to Christian leaders, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all patience and longsuffering and doctrine. All patience and doctrine. So it doesn't say, hey, preach the parts you want to preach. And that's why, personally, everyone, I like to go through books of the Bible. Sometimes I'll do series like the one we did on killing giants years ago. We did the series on killing the giants, and we said killing the giant of fear, killing this giant, killing the giant of worry. We do ones like that. But when you walk through books of the Bible, you are just quote-unquote forced. Now, I'm not forced because I love preaching the Word of God, but really, there are just pastors. They said, I've never preached on Revelation because it's people don't like it. But you know what? We need all of God's Word, and we need to understand that. And by the way, everybody, look. Jesus said to his 12, people will hate you. All men will hate you. Don't be surprised. You know, last week in the newspaper, I'm going to talk in a little bit about Dr. Robert Jeffress down at First Baptist Church of Dallas. Well, he was written up in the newspaper this past week in the Metro, on the front page of the Metro section of the Dallas Morning News. And basically, the guy just hates him. That writer does not like Robert Jeffress. He says he's a bigot. He's this, he's that, and he's going down the list. And you know what? Robert Jeffress is just simply giving up. On Fox News, he was on TV, and they asked him, well, what do you say about this, what you're saying? And he just says, look, this is exactly what Christians have been saying for 2,000 years, and I'm not saying anything different. And, you know, he's talking to people and saying, listen, it's just God's word. And he just says, listen, he just preaches it, and he says, look, if people hate me, if they write and say you call them all kinds of names and everything, folks, Jesus said we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised when people hate us. Because you know what? We're standing up for what the truth is, and when you stand for the truth, people hate that. Okay, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to be reminded of the evils in their life. And so, you know, again, when we get to Revelation 8, it's talking about what's happening at the end of the time, at the end of time, what's happening, how the world is going to end as we know it. Out there on our sign in the front yard of the church, it's got series on the book of Revelation, how life as we know it will end. How is God going to take this world that we live in, that's everybody's at odds with one another, and there's evil everywhere, and children are just taken by evil people, and all kinds of horrible atrocities, and millions of babies being killed all the time, and just all these, how is God going to wrap that all up? How is he going to stop it? How is he going to intervene? How is he going to bring that to an end? And how is he going to bring world peace? How is he going to bring peace on earth? And how is he going to pull that off? Well, we're right in the thick of this. That's what this is all about. So Revelation 8 and Revelation 9, the trumpet judgments, are not easy things to understand. Now up here I got this chart. On the left it says the rapture. In the middle of the seven-year tribulation period, this coming time of judgment on planet Earth, 7 years, you have the rapture takes place where everyone who is saved on Earth is brought into the presence of Jesus, taken right up off the Earth and without dying a physical death. Man, this morning when I was praying, I said, Lord Jesus, come today. Come today. It would be so great to avoid. Just think of what an amazing group of people that will be, that will get to go to be with God without experiencing physical death. And by the way, some people will say, hey, doesn't the Bible say it's appointed unto man once to die, but then the judgment? Yeah, that's speaking generally. Elijah was taken up into heaven thousands of years ago. He never died. And there were other people that happened to as well. But you know what? That would be a great group to be part of, to be part of the group that never saw death. Enoch. You remember Enoch? He walked with God, and God took him because he had this testimony that he walked with God. Wow, that would be great. So for the first 3.5 years, you'll notice I put here, we already looked at the seal judgments in chapter 6. That's the judgments that started. And then the trumpet judgments pretty much fill, other than the very last one, the seventh trumpet, and then the bowl judgments in the last 3.5 years. Probably, as far as we can tell, because of their intensity, probably more toward the end of the 3.5 years, because in the middle up there it says man of sin. Most people call him the Antichrist. I like to stick with the biblical terminology there, the man of sin. I think the Antichrist is his religious right-hand man, the religious guy. The man of sin over here is the political world ruler. He's the emperor of the whole earth. He takes over. He says that he's God. He's got this right-hand man named the Antichrist. In the Bible, the Apostle John, who wrote Revelation, calls Antichrists false teachers, false teachers. And he says, you've heard that Antichrist, capital A, is coming, the big Antichrist, the false prophet. Even now there are many little a Antichrists. There are now many Antichrists, false teachers, little a. But he said the big capital A Antichrist, the man of sin's right-hand religious guy, is coming. So that's why I basically take that. Not many people view it that way, but I think that actually is more biblical to see it that way. That end times false preacher that in the middle of the tribulation is going to come out and make a statue that people are going to worship, he's going to be controlling the religious side of it. Well, he's going to be controlling the political side, the man of sin. Well, he goes into the temple. He kills God's two prophets that have been preaching for 3.5 years. He kills the two prophets. He goes into the Holy of Holies, and he declares that he's God. So I think things begin to get a little bit better for planet Earth after the two witnesses are gone. They're not there to cast judgments down on the Earth. And the man of sin puts 666 on people's hands or on their foreheads. They have a mark that you have to have to buy and sell. If you have to get groceries, if you have to get your car repaired, you got to have that mark. And by the way, everybody that takes that mark, you seal your eternal fate. Any person that takes that, they'll be deluded, and no matter what they're told, they will not become believers. The Bible says that. To take that mark is to condemn yourself eternally. Wow. Wow. So anyway, the trumpet judgments that we're talking about today are going to be during the first 3.5 years. They remind you a lot of Moses, and you've all seen the movie The Ten Commandments. The frogs come, the lice come, the darkness comes, all those things, right? You're all aware of that. They're very similar. It's very interesting. Moses was the prophet then who said, okay, Pharaoh, if you don't let my people go tomorrow, this is going to happen. I believe that what we're looking at today, the seal and the trumpet judgments, are the judgments that the two witnesses are declaring. They're going to say, listen, mankind, since you don't want to listen to God, if you're not willing to come to God and to believe in Him and to honor Him, because of that, tomorrow this is going to come on planet Earth. And of course, they're proving that they're God's prophets, because for 3.5 years, everybody, everything they say comes to pass. They are proving they're the real deal. Okay? And just like Moses turned water to blood in the Nile River, and just like Moses brought all these different plagues on Egypt, these two witnesses are going to do it, and they're called the seal judgments and the trumpet judgments. Then, like I said, the man of sin takes over in the middle, kills those two prophets of God. He takes over the world. He says he's God Almighty. People begin to worship him as God. And then toward the end, we're not told exactly, but probably from the way it looks, those seven last judgments start falling on his kingdom, those who've taken his mark. And by the way, the seal judgments, 1/4 of the earth's population loses their life from just one judgment, and they become more intense. The trumpet judgments before the middle point are even more intense, and the bowl judgments are the most intense. So it intensifies. Why? Why, Bob? Why, Pastor Bob? Because God is getting his megaphone out, and he's trying to wake planet Earth up before it's too late. That's why. Okay? You know, human beings are very stubborn toward God and his will. Chuck Swindoll said this: a major purpose of God's judgments in Revelation is to seize the world's attention when he refuses to listen. I'll give you an example. Son, can we have that next slide, please? Okay. Up here, it's hard to see. In the upper left, there's a tsunami and all the damage. In the middle, there's the volcano that erupted in Ecuador just in the last week. Over there to the right is another tsunami. Down here is 911 in the lower left-hand corner. And in the right lower corner is in Florida recently, in Parkland, Florida, where there was the school shooting. Got all kinds of natural suffering and human suffering. You got natural things that happen through earthquakes and all those kind of things, tsunamis, hurricanes, tornadoes, hail, all these things that happen. And then, of course, you got the evils of mankind because of the sinfulness of the human heart. Folks, you know what? Everybody says get rid of guns. The guns are not a problem. Because if you got rid of all the guns in America, then everybody would have knives. Or they'd have baseball bats. Or they'd have slingshots. They'd have some way. Hey, when God created Adam and Eve, and then they had two sons, right? Cain and Abel. They didn't have guns. He didn't need a gun. He just took a big rock and clunked them on the head. Right? The first murder. You don't need... It's the problem of man is man's heart. That's the problem. That's why we have shootings, because until Jesus returns and people are right with God, there will always be. It was in the beginning that way, and there always will be. Now, I know society's gotten worse, and it's becoming more and more prevalent, but those of you that were around in 1967, you remember Texas? Was it the University of Texas, the guy went up in the tower? gunned a bunch of people down. This stuff's been happening forever. Do we think that child abuse, that just started in the 1900s? No, that reaches back all the way back into the Garden of Eden. It goes all the way back, well, I shouldn't say into the Garden of Eden, but back to the beginning of time is what I'm trying to say. We don't have a record of something, but God comes right out in the law of Moses, and he starts saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that. So you get the idea, everyone. So I told you that I was going to talk to you about Robert Jeffress. Let me just say this. The reason that these judgments get more and more difficult for mankind is because humans are great, and I'll use my chair here, humans are great at digging in their heels, right? Aren't human beings stubborn? Okay? They don't want God. They don't want the things of God. And so God will amp it up. He'll amp up the punishments as you go through the 7 years of tribulation. Now, if you're here today and you know that you're saved, if you know 100% sure that when you die you'll go to be with God forever and ever, I got good news for you. You won't be here for that 7 years of judgments on planet Earth. You won't be here. You'll be with God. Now, if you're here today and you're not 100% sure, let me just tell you this. Come and see me after church, and you can get in your car today, turn the question mark inside your head into an exclamation point. You can know that you know that you know that you'll be with God forever and ever. Don't delay. Don't delay, because if Jesus comes this afternoon, you'll be left behind. We'll go up to be with him, and then you'll have to endure those 7 years. It will be awful. All right, so get that taken care of. Don't wait to become a born-again believer. Don't wait to be saved and to know that you have eternal life. All right, let's talk about Robert Jeffress for a minute. He's the pastor of First Baptist of Dallas. And Kelly, my wife, was listening to him on, she's got a podcast or something like that. She hears him talk. Is that right, Kelly? Were you listening on the podcast to him? And he was talking about this interesting observation about humanity. He said, it's very interesting, and son, can you put that next slide up? He said that it's very interesting that when things go bad for humans, can we have that next slide, Robert? What's going on back there, dude? Okay, there we go. All right, why God, we as humans are very quick to ask the question, why? He said, human beings, he said, Robert Jeffress says, take the average human being. When things go south, when things go poorly, the first thing that they want to say is this, Lord, why? 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 But then Robert Jeffress said this. Robert Jeffress said, they seldom reverse that. Those same people, when things are going well for them, if they get a raise, if they have good things happening to them in some way, or something goes well for their family, put the next slide up. The next slide, or this is it. Lord, why is this happening to me? Why are you allowing so many good things to happen to me? Right? How often do the same people that say, Lord, why did you let this happen? When he lets good things happen, do they ever come back to God and say, Lord, wow, thank you, God. Robert Jeffress says the human condition. They want to complain very, very much when troubles strike, but they don't want to do very much praising when good things happen to them. He said that's just an observation about human beings. Okay? Now, and all that to say this, like I said, during the first 3.5 years, can we have that next slide, please? During the first 3.5 years, God is going to get his megaphone out, and he's going to keep trying to wake humanity up because they don't want to listen to him. So he brings trouble upon them. So they'll think, hey, is it possible that God is doing this? When you get to Revelation 8:1, we're getting the very last seal judgment here. Six of them have already been opened. Now we get the seventh. Who's he? Well, if you go back, that's the Lord Jesus, the Lamb slain in the midst of the throne, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Okay, let's talk about that. We're in God's throne room, right? We're in God's throne room. And John is the observer. The Apostle John is getting to see a vision of what's going on in God's heavenly throne room. And he said, boy, all the loud noises and everything we heard, the beast crying out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all those things that are going on, suddenly everything goes silent. Now, why? What is Revelation teaching us here? Well, everybody, this is the calm before the storm. He's about to institute some more powerful judgments. He's going to be giving a louder wake-up call to mankind. He's going to really try to move them to think about God and the things of God. So he's going to be talking to them more loudly. And so it gets quiet in heaven. Let me show you, when God was about to do different things in Scripture, how it got quiet. Look at the next verse here. Okay, Psalm 46:10. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. You know what he's saying there? No more will nations kick me out. You know, America at one time had a fairly good openness to God. Not great, but it's a lot better than it is now. But Jesus said, you know what? One day I'm going to set everything right. And the whole world will worship me. They'll want to. They won't be forced to. They will worship because they want to. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And of course, nations is the word Gentile. Gentile. I'll be exalted in this whole globe. But he says, be still and know that I am God. I'm going to bring my purposes to pass. What goals I have, it's going to happen. Remember I told you, all of us down here on earth are like people on a giant cruise ship. And we're walking around on that ship wherever we want to go because God's given us free will. We could go down here, we could go up here, we could do this, we could do that. God gives us a free will, but guess what? There's somebody up front in that boat, in that cruise ship, pointing it right to the direction where he was told to get it to go. God is the one who is at the helm. God is taking mankind in the direction, and he says, be still. There's that silence. I want you to humble yourself and get quiet before me and recognize the might of my strength. You know, Jesus gets made out to be somewhat of a wuss in modern times. But I'm telling you what, our God has a mighty arm. And, of course, that's a picture of God. He doesn't have an arm, okay? God doesn't, except the Lord Jesus does. But God is mighty, powerful. He's strong. He's the rock. And he is not somebody to be trifled with. And mankind wants to trifle with God. They want to blow him off. But guess what? God says, I will be exalted in the earth. I will be exalted among the Gentiles. Next slide, please. Here's another one about silence. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord. Hey, you know what today is? Today is the day of mankind. Today is the day of human governments. Today is the day of dictators and kings and people being in control. Guess what? One day it's going to be the day of the Lord. One day Jesus is going to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Of course, he is that now, but in that day, it'll be true in all its fullness. Okay, of course, his title is King of kings and Lord of lords. The day of the Lord. Hey, everybody, when does the day of the Lord begin? Easy. It begins at the rapture, and it lasts 1,007 years. I should say 7 years and 1,000. All of a sudden, when the rapture takes place, everything changes. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and getting married, till the day Noah went on the ark. And then when Noah went on the ark and God closed the door, what happened? Boom! God took over. God said, now, and again, he was always in control, but he was waiting for people to get saved through Noah. But when they finally put Noah down for the last time over the course of 120 years of building the ark, God said, okay, I'm stepping in. And that's what he's going to do. Jesus said, just like it was in the days of Noah, so it'll be in my day. So the day of the Lord, when you read your Bible and you read about the day of the Lord, it's talking about, it starts with the beginning of the tribulation period, 7 years of the tribulation, and then 1,000 years. And of course, on into eternity. But the technical, this phrase for the day of the Lord talks about his judgments and his coming to rule over planet Earth. Okay? So, and there's other things that we don't have time to go into, like the great and notable day of the Lord that have different they point to different things, specific things, but we won't go into that right now. We could get to that later. Okay, so this is this quietness in Revelation 8:1 is the proverbial calm before the storm. So let's get right into Revelation 8 here, verse 2. All right? And I saw seven angels who stand before God. So we're still in the throne room of God. Started in chapter 4. We're in God's throne room in heaven. John said, I saw four angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Hey, what are trumpets in the Bible, everybody? Whenever God's about ready to do something big, guess what starts getting blown? A trumpet. How about at Mount Sinai? What did they hear? Trumpets so loud, it was putting their eardrums out. What's going to happen when he takes us up off the earth? The Lord will descend with what? The trumpet of God. Okay, so trumpets always say God's doing something big. Okay, so we got seven angels who stand before God, and then another angel having a golden censer. A golden censer is this thing that incense. Thank you. It has the incense in there that it burns because the smoke rises up into the nostrils of God, as it were, pleasing God. That aroma, it's a picture of our prayers. This angel takes all of our prayers. Hey, have you all been praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? If you've been praying that, one day you're going to get the answer to your prayer. You know why? Because this angel takes our prayers and mixes it in with the incense, and he throws that censer down to the earth saying, get ready, Jesus' kingdom is coming. You're getting your prayer answered. So this is the incense altar. Where was this? This was right outside the Holy of Holies. Only one person could go into the presence of God a year back in the Old Testament. That stood right beside that veil that only one person could enter into, where God dwelt on the Ark of the Covenant. That was the incense altar right there before the door, right there before the curtain in the most holy place. The Holy of Holies was right behind that incense altar. It says, he was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Verse 4, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. There it is. Our prayers are going up, people's prayers during the tribulation. All these things are all coming together and going up to God. Okay? Now, verse 5. The angel took the censer, filled it with fire. Fire in the Bible, picture of judgment. He filled that censer with fire. It's red hot. And he throws it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Uh-oh. The calm before the storm is over. That silence in heaven for a half an hour. Now, what did John hear? Noises, thunder, lightning, and an earthquake. Man, when that thing smacked into the earth, when that censer came down from heaven, God's saying, okay, I'm doing a new thing here on earth. Yes, I brought the seal judgments, and they were bad, but I'm bringing even worse things on the earth because people aren't listening to me. Now, listen. A lot of people are listening to him, and we'll see that. We saw that in Revelation 7. So many people get saved in those final 7 years, but again, so many people don't. God's trying to wake them up. Hey, listen, if those people don't get woken up, where will they be at the end of the 7 years, everybody? They'll be in hell. They'll be separated from God, and God doesn't want that. So he's trying to get them to choose of their own free will. He's trying to motivate them to choose. He can't do the choosing for them. So heaven's no longer silent. God's bringing more judgments. Now let's go through these first four. We can't do them all because there's some in chapter 9. So we'll just do four very quickly because this isn't anything new to you all. Okay, verse 6. So the seven angels who had seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. All right, next slide, please. What is this? What is the first judgment, first trumpet judgment? The first trumpet judgment is the burning of planet Earth's vegetation. All, listen to this, everybody. All the green grass on Earth is torched. It's gone. Think about that. What's that going to do for cattle, for all the troubles that are going to come because of this? One third of the trees were burned up. God in His mercy leaves two thirds of the trees that are, you know, bearing fruit and helping people survive. But guess what? He's making it tougher on people. Why? Because it's His megaphone. He's trying to wake people up. He loves those people. Jesus hung on the cross for those people. God's got a free gift of eternal life waiting for those people, but they don't want to listen. They're like, la, 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 la. They're trying to keep God out of their lives, okay? So, by the way, it says hail and fire mingled with blood. Now, does that mean the blood's coming out of heaven with the hail and the fire? You say, wait a minute, Pastor Bob, when does fire come out of the heaven? When does fire come out of the sky? Well, think Sodom and Gomorrah. You say that? This hasn't ever happened in history. Yes, it has. All of Sodom and Gomorrah was buried, and of course, you can think of Pompeii. Of course, they got buried under ash, in volcanic ash, but nonetheless, some of them got buried, I'm sure, under lava flows. But God is here intervening and bringing judgment on mankind. The blood is probably people. Do you remember, this has been a while, but back in Fort Worth, they were having that big shindig outside, and then a giant hailstorm came, and there were like tennis-size hail, and these people were getting pelted, and they showed them inside this building. They all ran, and they ran inside. But, man, people were sitting there, and blood was just coming down on them. Why? Because you get clunked in the head with a baseball that's made of hail. That'd hurt. That'd draw some blood. It could kill you if it hit you in the right spot. And so that's just a huge issue. And so there's blood mingled with this hail and fire. Again, God's waking mankind up. Let's look at the next one, verses 8 and 9. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain. Okay, notice that. Something like, he says, I'm seeing something here. I really don't know what it is. Now, I'm going to say that this is probably a meteorite, a comet, an asteroid, something like that. But it's burning with fire, probably a meteorite. A great mountain burning with fire. Notice great, a huge mountain. He didn't say it was just like a hail ball coming down. He said this thing was massive. Burning with fire, it was thrown into the sea, into the ocean. A third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Okay, what is this one? Next slide, please. What we're looking at here, trumpet number two, is the disruption of the oceans. Notice that picture I have up there of that burning meteor hitting the ocean. By the way, can you put the next slide up, son? Put that next slide up. Do you know what that is? On Thursday, I went to the internet and I asked the satellites above the earth to tell me where all the ships on the seas were at that moment. There are about 52,000 gigantic ships on our oceans. At any given time, there's upwards of 20,000 of them, or maybe more than that even. But anyway, this was where all the ships, and by the way, each of those different colors, there's red, there's green, there's orange, all of them, some of them are catching fish, and some of them are these great cargo ships. Hey, listen, 10 years ago, those cargo ships could hold 8,000 semi-trailer, you know, the back end of a semi, that big giant thing, what do you call that? The trailer, okay. Boy, that's a complicated word there, I'm telling you. But anyway, that trailer on the back of that semi, they could hold 8,000 of them. Guess what? 10 years later, today, they hold 18,000, some of those ships. 18,000 semi-trailers. But they're all over. Just think of a giant meteor hit one of the oceans, and you would have a tsunami. Not only is that tsunami going to take out all those ships, but it's going to take out all the lives on the coast. So if it hit in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, what you would have is you would have that giant percussion. It would radiate out. It would go to Spain. It would go to Europe. It would go to the east coast of the United States. You would have massive devastation. One-third of the creatures in the sea die, and one-third of the ships are destroyed. This, listen, if things were already going bad on Earth, this is just making things even worse, everybody. I mean, you're talking about devastation. Let's continue to go. Verse 10. I wish that we could take the time to talk about this more at length. Verses 10 and 11. The third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. Now, when he says a great star, hey, you guys, back in those days, they didn't realize that stars, it's really, there's a generic word in Greek, astar, aster, A-S-T-A-R. There's a Greek word, a general term, but undoubtedly this wasn't like a real star in the sense like the sun. Because if the sun came and smacked into the earth, there'll be no more earth, okay? It's probably talking about some kind of a comet coming to planet Earth. The third angel sounded and a great star fell from heaven. It was big, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers, on the springs of water. So I think there's something supernatural happening here because this thing is going to poison the waters. Whatever this thing's bringing from outer space, and again, you know what? Some people might say, well, maybe it's an angel coming down because angels are called stars in the Bible. Okay. You know, we don't know all the ins and outs. But whatever this is that hits the waters, it's bringing poison with it because it's called wormwood. The name of the star is wormwood. It's bitter. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Okay, next slide. What this is, trumpet number three, is the rivers are poisoned. One third. In our world, there's about 180 or 150, 180 major rivers on planet Earth. Now think about this. 180 major rivers. What I mean by major rivers, I'm talking about big ones. In fact, if you take the 180, and I did this week, I took a calculator and I added it all up, how many miles of river you have there, it's 125,000 miles, just those 180 major rivers. Well, this thing hits the earth in one-third of those rivers. And you know what rivers are? Rivers are freshwater. You can't go up to the ocean and say, let me have a mouthful of salt. You can't drink the ocean water. You know, it'll kill you. Ocean water is not for drinking. But fresh water, this is going to destroy the fresh water on Earth. Again, God getting out the megaphone. Listen to me, human beings. Listen to me. Please, please. Eternity is in the balance. You're going to go into a Christless eternity without me. I want to give you a home in heaven. I want to give you a wonderful place forever and ever and ever. But if you won't listen to me, you're going to blow it and you're going to spend eternity separated from me. God is a God of deep, passionate love for humanity. But again, just like as a parent, if your child just starts rebelling and you begin to discipline that child and you make the discipline more and more difficult on them because you're trying to get them to listen to you before they just become a reprobate, parents do that. Parents just say, oh, whatever. Now, if you do, your kid just goes crazy. So a passionate parent, loving parent, disciplines its child. Hey, God is the same way. We're made in the image of God. Okay. Hey, by the way, let me throw up another slide here. Next slide, please. I wanted to show you this about Earth. I meant to point this out. I just divided the Earth into three parts. Now, it looks like they're not equal. But the truth of the matter is I used the longitudinal lines there. And I believe latitude is east and west and longitude is north and south. But anyway, is that right, Matt? You would know. You know? Okay. I'm right. Okay. So we're talking about longitudinal lines. And if you took that and you wrapped it around a globe, you know, like you have on a desk, all those are equidistant. What's on the left, what's in the middle is one-third, and is one-third on the left, one-third in the middle, one-third on the right. Just think if all the rivers got taken out in North and South America and part of Greenland up there, or all of the rivers in Africa, in Europe, and the Middle East. Are all the rivers in China and Russia and in Australia? Wow. Man, you're talking about a major, major disruption of planet Earth. Okay, last one. Last judgment, next week we'll get the other three. Okay? Trumpet number four is in Revelation 8:12. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. Okay, next slide, please. What do we have here? Trumpet number four is the darkening of the luminaries, the sun, the moon, and the stars. How does God do this? Well, he may do it supernaturally. Do you remember in Egypt? All of Egypt was in darkness so thick you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. But the Jews, inside their homes, had light. Now, what is that? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. God intervenes supernaturally, and he says, Egyptians won't be able to see their hand in front of their nose for, I can't remember, Brother Bill, was it 3 days? I can't remember how long they went with that. I think it was 3 days. So they couldn't see for 3 days. Hey, everybody, do you think that will disrupt things a little bit? If no matter where you're at, you can't see in front of your face. They had big problems. But in the homes of the Jews back then, it says they had light. I think it could be a miracle. It could be pollution. It could be just stuff polluting the air and causing this. But whatever it is, everybody, the sun, the moon, and the stars up in the sky are darkened a third of the day. 8 hours a day. 8 hours a day. Hey, that's one third of the day, everybody, out of a 24-hour day. So if you're normally used to having, say, 12 hours of the sun, it's going to be for an additional 4 hours that the sun doesn't come out. So that's going to cause all kinds of problems. However God does that, we don't know exactly how he's exactly going to pull that off. But whatever he's doing there, it's going to disrupt planet Earth in a powerful way. Now, the last verse, verse 13. And I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe." Now, that doesn't mean like we go, "Whoa," like Fonzie on Happy Days or something. Whoa. No, this is like, trouble, trouble, trouble. Danger, danger, danger. Misery, misery, misery. That's the last three trumpet judgments, the worst of them. Remember I said they increase in trouble, in danger, and in their misery? Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Listen to me, everybody. How bad is it? One of those three trumpets is going to result in one-third of mankind losing their life. One-third. So if there were 8 billion at the beginning of the 7 years, one of the seals takes a quarter of the population of Earth away. So now you have 6 billion. One of those takes away a third. Now you have 4 billion by the midpoint of the tribulation. 3.5 years, listen to me, 3.5 years, half of Earth's population has lost its life, and they haven't even seen the Great Tribulation yet, which is the last 3.5 years. Jesus said, then there will be great tribulation. The world has never seen anything like this, nor will the world ever see anything like it in the future. He said it's the most harrowing time of trouble. Okay, so I said I wasn't going to go into chapter 9 today, and I would answer any questions you had. But let me just end this way. I wanted to give an application. Do I have that application slide up there, son? I lost my... Oh, here it is. Okay, here's my page here. Okay. C.S. Lewis said this, everybody. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience. But he shouts to us in our pain. Isn't that the truth? And unfortunately, you know, like 9-1-1 happens, God shouts at America, he allows this to happen. Obviously, he didn't intervene and stop it because he's given mankind a free will, okay? God allows this to happen, and he's shouting, as it were, to planet Earth. And you know what? A lot of people all of a sudden got a bit of fear of God in them, and they're holding candles and they're praying. But guess what? Hey, you all know this. How long did that last? Did that go on for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years? No. It might have lasted weeks. It might have lasted days. Why? Because human beings are stubborn. And then life just returns to what it was. People go back to their evil. People go back to their sin. And they blow God off again. And C.S. Lewis is right. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience. But he shouts in our pains. It's his megaphone to awaken a deaf world, to rouse them. So just keep that in mind. When people say, oh, I don't believe in the God of the Bible, he's mean and horrible and awful. No, what you can tell them, no, he's full of grace and truth. He is God. And yes, he is the God of ultimate love, but definitely he hates sin. And if you continue to flaunt God, if people continue to give God the bird, as it were, you know what? God has to intervene. Okay, let's do this. I'll just be able to take maybe two or three questions because of time. We still have to pray for Brother Gary. But who, does anybody, maybe you don't have any questions right now. Does anybody have a question that came to your mind that you would want me to answer? Say it to me loud and I'll repeat it for the tape. Anybody have a question? Okay, I'll answer. I know one of them you have. What are they having today at First Cafeteria? Okay, First Cafeteria. No. Okay. By the way, I found a card somebody in church gave me from First Cafeteria. It's probably from like 1989, and I'm going to see if it's still good. It's like a gift card. I'm going to go there today with Kelly. Hey, can I still use this? Hey, man, that thing's only worth about $2 today. You bought it in 1988. Anyway, does anybody have any questions? Okay, Jeff. Comment. Thank you. All right, that's good, Jeff. Anybody have any questions? No, go ahead. Yes.
Say that this is all analogies.
Yes.
But it's not.
Okay, Jeff, the comment Jeff made was, what about people who say, and there's many, many, in fact, most theologians would say, oh, these aren't literal. There's not going to be a literal comet hitting the earth. That comet is just a picture to say God is mad at planet Earth. Okay, they want to say this is not literal. It's all just stories about good and evil. And Jeff said to make a comment about that. And it just doesn't hold water, everybody, because it doesn't comport, it doesn't fit with the picture of God that we see in the Old Testament. Okay? God, the Bible says, is a God of war. Okay, he's a warrior. God is a God that judged sin. God is a God that opened the earth up and swallowed people up, and they went down in the earth when they were disobeying God. In the book of Acts, after Jesus died and rose from the dead, there were two people. They sold property, and they came to church, and they said, hey, everybody, we just sold that beautiful land we had over there on the lake of Galilee, and we sold it, and we made $1 million, and we're giving it to the church. Well, the problem was, they sold it and they made $2 million or whatever, and they only gave $1 million of it, but they were acting like they gave it all to the church. Now, hey, thank God for the million they gave. By the way, would someone of you please sell any property? All right. So anyway, they gave, and so what happened is, first God killed the guy right in front of the church. It would be just like being in church today. They're having church and they're singing, oh, how he loves you. And the guy's dead. He's laying there, you know, and he got killed by God because he lied. And then his wife comes in. She was late because she took too long to put her makeup on. She came to church, and she came in, and she said, did you sell that property for such and such? She said, we did. Well, the people who carried your husband's body out are going to carry your body out. Ta-ta! Boom! She dies. Okay? See, people, the problem, Jeff, is people don't like the God of the Bible. Man makes God in their own image. They want a God like them. Well, if I was God, I would do it like Jim Carrey did it in Bruce Almighty. I'd answer everybody's prayer, every prayer they wanted, Okay, all right. Anybody else? All right, if you have any as you're reading Revelation, write them down. And so I'm going to ask our men to come forward. I'm going to ask our elders and Brother Wade to come forward and pray with us. And Gary's going to kneel down or sit down here, and we're going to gather around him. In fact, let me just grab a chair. Gary, let me grab this chair for you to sit so we can. And this Tuesday, Gary, our elder and head of our Bible fellowships in church. He's going to have open heart surgery, and I'm going to anoint him with oil, and I'm going to ask the elders to lay hands in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'd like Dan Tichawai to lead us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for all the blessings you give us, and for the life you give us, and for saving us, Lord, above all. Lord, we just pray that you put your hands on everything involved in Gary's surgery, Lord, and that you you pull him through this without any issues, Lord, and that he can heal quickly, and we know he's strong, and we thank you for putting that in him, and we just pray that you carry him through this, Lord. We love him, and we just love the work that he does for you, Lord, and just pray that can continue, Lord. So just be with him. We pray these things in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Amen.
All right. All right. Hey, everybody, on Tuesday. Yes, Marilyn. Oh, yes. Okay, that's right. I appreciate you reminding me of that, because what Marilyn asked is that we would pray for Gene Woods. Our piano player had to leave because Gene's having some real physical issues that she needed to take him to the emergency room. So she left right after she did the piano special and took him on to the hospital, to the doctors. So, yes. They just had a new air conditioner put in their house not very long ago, and that's not working. And so they're not only having issues with Gene's health, but they don't have any air conditioning in their house. So, okay. So everybody, let me just thank you so much for listening so intently. You know what? Again, I know that this is a tough part, and especially for you that are our guests. I got to meet the folks that are our guests today, and I thank God for you, and I praise God for bringing you here. But this is just a tough part of the scripture, and so it's not easy, but we want to balance it. God is full of grace, and he's full of truth, okay? You know, if you, for instance, if you rob a bank, our penal system was made around the Bible. You don't go into a courtroom and the judge go, "Oh, you robbed a bank? You stole $25,000? Well, bless your heart. You know what? I know you'll do better. If you'll just go home to mommy, you'll be just fine. You go home and don't ever do it again, okay?" No. Why? Because there's grace and there's truth. Now, there might be something that they'll cut the guy a little slack for something, but listen, because maybe he'll give the police information they needed, and they'll say, "Hey, listen, if you'll give us the information about who did that, we'll cut your time from 25 years to 24 and a half. No, I mean, 25 to 15, okay? Maybe they give him a little grace for something, but listen, he's not getting out of jail. He's going to go, and God is full of grace and truth. And so, you know, I know it's tough to be encouraged by this message, but what it does for you and I is encourages us to go to those friends of ours that we don't want to see go through this horrible time. We've got to have boldness, all right? Let's all stand. Hey, last Wednesday night, go ahead and stand. Last Wednesday night, we had a terrific group of teenagers. We had 12 teenagers here. The adults, not too bad. Kids, not too bad. But you know what? Wednesday night, when we got done, it was still light outside. Please come. I'm going through the book of Ephesians. You'll love it. Your wealth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Terry's making desserts. They're terrific. We had some delicious cupcakes for everybody, and so we'll have another dessert this Wednesday. So, all right, let me have a word of prayer. Father, first of all, we want to thank you, Lord, for your word, that you don't mince words. You tell us the truth. You tell it like it is. And, Lord, we don't get to decide how things are going to turn out. Lord, we hear you, and we obey, we follow, we honor you. You created us. We did not create you. And so, Lord, you're the one who gets the last word. Help us, Lord, to always keep that in mind. And then, Lord, we think about those around us that need eternal life. They don't know if they'll be with God forever and ever. Lord, open doors for us so that we can share your word. And we ask these things in your precious name and for your sake, Lord Jesus.